Welcome back to the latest edition of Mountain West Connection radio version with Jeremy and Chris here, and we are discussing the Aggies, Utah State.
Yes, the Aggies. We call them Utah Aggies.
I like your enthusiasm,
which is as opposed to Texas A&M Aggies, which is you know, kind of in a tire fire situation right now.
Johnny Autograph.
Allegedly.
No, it's not allegedly. He signed stuff. No.
Oh, he signed stuff.
It's about the dollar sign, if he's picking that up too. Even though that technically could be illegal by Texas law, those crazy Texans, which I am one of those, but not the crazy ones. There's apparently a law where if there's a Texan, basically, we're just going to go off topic right away. From Eric Dickerson, Craig James, the Pony Excess or Express, whatever you want to call it, or that, you know, everybody knows what I'm talking about, where he got paid to go to SMU. Law came around at the same time. Basically, if you're a broker and break an NCAA rule by giving a player money, that player can sue or get eligibility back if they lose time. Just something weird I saw today. And so that's how we get to talking about the Texas A&M Aggies. And also, was it a month ago we talked about the Barbie Yell Leaders?
Yeah.
That too. So, yeah. As we know, the show is also called Off Topic for more majority of the time.
So, going from off topic to on topic, we are talking about the Utah Aggies, as in the Utah State Aggies. Those crazy guys from, where are they from again?
Freezing Logan, Utah.
Freezing Logan, Utah, where they have a star quarterback who they're trying to get a Heisman, and so they made a card about him, a trading card. Signed trading card.
That's how we get back to it, signed. Which I did not get, and that's probably because I didn't ask for one or something. But before we get to all that stuff, we'll get to Utah State. We do have some news. We're not just doing we're not just doing team shows. There's some news. And also, the website, which we did not mention, mwcconnection.com, or Twitter, same moniker, mwcconnection on Twitter. And also, basically, thanks for visiting us. We're blowing up, that's what I like to say. We're killing it on everything.
We are blowing up like Twitter blowing up after a shocking reality show secret.
Breaking Bad. No, not that bad. With them saying, what happened? What did Hank do? What did he do to Walt?
I don't watch the show.
I'm just saying, people may have not seen it, but you should have. But I'm just saying, stuff goes down. We could say, let's put our percentage falls in that category. Does that sound good? Is that correct?
I'd say so. Yeah,
okay.
I'd say
that sounds good. What, Gwenny?
So, news. What do we got for news, Jeremy?
Well, we have, let's see, hold on a second. Hey, Gwenny, what? It's a commercial, silly. It's a commercial. One second, dude, hold on. Mark the time down. Put at, write down 3:15 for me, okay?
3:15, okay.
Thanks. Gwenny, it's a commercial on the, come on. Oh, geez. Awesome.
3:15.
Yeah, let me mark it down so I'll edit it later. My show turned into a mom and dad movie. It's a commercial. They're not too from sure what that is. All right, so let's go with the news here. So, start in 5 seconds. So, the news portion, before we get to Utah State, as we said, that's what we're talking about. News. The big news, let's just kind of start with the Fox Sports 1 detail. Not that it's huge news. It covers the Mountain West a little bit. They reached an agreement with, I guess for the most people, DirecTV and Dish Network and Time Warner. I'm not sure who has Time Warner out in our area. What's out west? Comcast and, well, I guess San Diego gets Time Warner. Is that right? I believe.
Yeah. So a lot of Southern California, specifically in San Diego area, gets Time Warner and others. So it is around.
And Fox Sports 1. It came basically, those who don't know, it's taking over the Speed Channel, which I was doing information research the other day. It was supposed to be like at channel 610 or 619, which, as us folks who watch CBS Sports Network, know it's out of the middle of nowhere. But now it's going to be at least on DirecTV, it's going to be 219 right next to NBC Sports in the vicinity of ESPN. So it's, if you flicker around on College Football Saturdays or whenever, you'll find the channel. But the big news, Boise State versus Washington on Saturday, August 31st, will be shown at 10 Eastern, as will Utah State, Utah, Thursday night, 2 weeks from today. 2 weeks right now, that game will be probably over. At the time,
14 days. 14 days two until weeks. College football. Utah That's State, the big news.
Yes, Utah State will be taking on Utah, trying to get their let me rephrase that. Back-to-back wins in a very long time against Utah. But that game will be, basically, we get Fox Sports 1. It comes down to be basically about they want 80 cents per subscriber from 23 for speed, which makes sense when you're showing live college football from the Pac-12, Big 12, Conference USA. You get live, also basketball, plus Big East hoops. You get some UFC, still get some NASCAR, MLB playoffs. Regis Philbin, noted Notre Dame fan, Regis Philbin. So, and also, your favorite announcer gets to call Boise State Washington.
He is not my favorite announcer, but he is a damn good announcer. Gus Johnson will be calling the Boise State Washington game.
Can we say your most exciting announcer?
Yeah. Outside of, you know, the Spanish guys who call the soccer games on Telemundo. Okay. Those guys are my favorite announcers.
He's close to that. So we got Gus Johnson there. That's kind of the big news. Actual camp news. Well, we'll kind of do some more generic news, kind of funnel it into the big news. Some bowl news. Idaho Potato Bowl is owned by ESPN now, which not that news is big of itself. However, the Mountain West.
The effects could be seriously big.
What was that?
I said the effects could be seriously big.
Yeah. Yes, and also it comes out to apparently Brian Murphy spoke to commissioner or listened to the conference call. I'm not sure why we weren't invited if it was a conference call, but that's something else for another day. How he has talked about basically the Las Vegas Bowl and Hawaii Bowl have a one-out year within the next 6 years, starting this year for the next 6 years. Basically means, say Boise State doesn't want to go for the millionth year in a row like BYU did to the Las Vegas Bowl. They can go to one of the other ESPN Bowls that's not part of the Mountain West, which would be BBVA in Birmingham, Beef O'Brady in St. Petersburg, or Armed Forces in Fort Worth, or the Texas Bowl in Houston. Which is
so,
pretty cool. That in Hawaii, that's not bad.
I have to ask, do you ever listen to Holly and Spencer's 35 for 35?
Their kind of bowl game previews
that they do every year?
Not as much as you have. What do you have to say about that stuff?
Okay, so they always do one for the Beef O'Brady's Bowl.
Of course.
And so they always play the game, Guess whether or not if this is a Beef O'Brady's item menu.
Is this a restaurant, Beef O'Brady?
It is a restaurant. It is a chain.
So it's not the Big Ten Rotel sponsor, Rotel Tomato sponsor.
No. So what's hilarious, though, think about Boise State going to the Beef O'Brady's Bowl and think about what kind of things that they can make with the famous Idaho potatoes in a Beef O'Brady's meal.
Well, first off, obviously the baked potato, pulled barbecue beef of some sort. Is that, you know what I'm talking about? That's a good.
Yeah.
That's very good. Is that too easy or what?
That might be too easy.
Too generic? I'm just saying I eat that sometimes. You get the pulled pork or something or pulled beef and a barbecue sauce and a nice baked potato and some sour cream.
Right.
What, you've never eaten that before?
No, I haven't.
Really?
Yeah, no.
What is this?
Okay. Sorry for me being cultured.
No, I'm just that's not what me. Wait, you being cultured?
We are quickly going from Mountain West Connection Radio to let Chris and Jeremy duke it out over food.
That's not like it's my staple item every week, but that's something I've had before. Remember, I also grew up in Texas.
So this is true. Barbecue, this is true.
But I'm not the crazy Rick Perry type Texan, so. Well, at least that's my opinion.
I grew up with Greek food, you know.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, right.
Falafel.
Okay.
So what were you getting at? The 35 to 35. What were you getting at? Just mentioning.
You know, guess what kind of items could be on the menu.
So what else? Potato.
For example, the Beef O'Rita, which is always a classic.
Okay. I have no idea what you're talking about, so. Anyway. Is there a Beef O'Brady in Southern California?
There is no Beef O'Brady in Southern California. Oh, God. Can you only imagine?
I'm going to Google it right now, Beef O'Brady.
Yeah. So anyway, so while he's Googling Beef O'Brady, so imagine, if you will, listener, about Boise State
make that
or
plural.
Fresno State.
Yeah, more than one, it's at least you and me listening, with the listeners.
Well, there'll be listeners in the future, I hope. Let me tell my story.
Okay, I'm just looking at their website. It's very distracting. It's going all over the place. Video, yeah. Twitter feed, Facebook, pop-ups.
All right. Imagine, if you will, listener, about a Boise State Boise State team in the Beef O'Brady Bowl against a dominant Conference USA or AAC team. And by dominant, I mean like the 6th or 7th team. So you go from the 5th, 6th, or 7th Pac-12 team.
All right.
To, like, the fifth choice, like, Conference USA team.
Excited around. Excited all around.
Excited all around. It's just free football. That's all I care about.
It's ridiculous. Also, this bowl thing is fine, but apparently the Christmas Bowl, the Mountain West, for some reason, I guess, well, we kind of jumped the gun a little bit about some coverage on that about a week and a half ago. So we apologize for that, but we're getting some more information out there on the bowl a little bit, which they do appreciate, told personally by someone from the bowl. However, they want, for some reason, why does the Mountain West want a Pac-12 opponent no matter what? That's kind of what it came down to, what Brian Murphy said from the Iowa State. It's going to be number 8, but what if the year you get Oregon or Stanford in the playoff and the Rose Bowl is not part of the semifinal and they qualify two teams that way? Say USC, Oregon are ones in the playoff, ones in the Rose Bowl because it's not a semifinal game.
I do not want to be playing Utah as a number 8 Pac-12.
Hey!
There you go. That twisted some screws a little bit.
No, they might not even make a bowl game, so I'm not worried about that this year.
It's okay. It could have been worse. I could have said Colorado.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. It's not my team. But it just doesn't make sense. I don't know how. What happened? They had all this big ambition, get Conference USA champ, which the league had forever, which is perfectly fine, because that people around here complain, BYU fan, Colorado State fan, I don't want to travel all the way out to, where was it playing, the Liberty Bowl? Was it Memphis, I think, the Liberty Bowl? They didn't want to go all the way out there
playing
that bowl game, out east, essentially. Yeah, because that's where Boise played Louisville back in, like, 03 or 05.
Was that the Liberty Bowl? Yeah, that was
that's the bowl game where I played Conference USA champ, I played MAC champ. But they, for some reason, we want to play a power team. But, like, if you're not playing number 4 better, you better try to get your champion to play somebody at least equal footing from another league of
like. Or at least what you would think to have, like, an entertaining bowl matchup. See, I will say, like, if we played the MAC, if you pit the Mountain West number 2 or number 3 versus the MAC number 2 and number 3,
well,
it doesn't matter.
Idaho Bowl.
Oh, that would be the Idaho Bowl.
That'd be a bit lower.
Makes for a wildly entertaining game, regardless.
Most likely, yeah. If you have, just think of last year. Okay, let's just say it's champ versus champ. Who would not have loved to see Northern Illinois versus Boise State last year?
Yeah.
Or Fresno, San Diego State, whoever, pick any of the three teams that were tied for the league title. Fresno versus Northern Illinois would have been amazing. Jordan Lynch running around there. Derek Carr throwing the ball around to Devontae Adams. Robbie Rouse running the ball. How does that not happen? Well, yeah, whoever.
Yeah.
I don't get. Okay, who's not? Obviously, we're going way off topic. But where does the MAC number 1 team go? Is it the Detroit Bowl or whatever?
It's the BBVA Compass Bowl.
I knew it. Okay, but if you're not going to get to play top 4, like I don't know how the. I seriously don't know how the Mountain West doesn't get into the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl, which was the Insight/Copper Bowl. How does the champion get stuck in a crappy bowl? And I know it's up to the league, but I get Las Vegas. It's a great destination. Crappy week, crappy opponent. Why can't they get into the Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl? Seems a perfect fit for their champion. But it's always like, it's the same thing. The Big Ten wants to play the Pac-12. The Big 12 wants to play the Big Ten or SEC. They all want to play like kind schools.
Yeah, the MAC number 1 team plays in the GoDaddy.com bowl.
Woo! Who's there? What league affiliation is that against?
Sunbelt number 2. It's the Little Caesars Pizza Bowl, however, where the MAC number 2 plays the Big Ten number 8. That's absolutely ridiculous. That's where you say
you're better off hoping the Big Ten doesn't have enough bowl eligible teams so you can play like Well, there's a La Tech fiasco last year, but then you could get an at-large team, say there happened to be a 7th Mountain West team, and or another AAC team, or independent, or they, like Nate, let's say, even if Idaho makes a bowl game, you know what I mean? Say Idaho has a great year, which not going to happen, but you get my point. Somebody who has a good year, I'd rather play them. I'd rather play, seriously, a 9-3 Idaho team that has no bowl tie-in, but they get a bowl berth, rather than playing a 6-6 Indiana team.
And that was one of the, and that was actually one of the talks that that should be in the talks for, if Idaho makes a bowl game through some sort of, you know,
voodoo,
Harry Potter, what do you call it, selling your soul to the crazy Old Testament God, I don't know. If Idaho somehow makes a bowl game, they don't have a tie-in. Why not tie them in with the famous Idaho Pizza Bowl? Famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
At least as a backup, if there's not enough Mountain West teams, or they can choose.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, because they don't have the clout that BYU has if you're going to go to this bowl game no matter what. Like, they have the Kraft Fight Hunger Bowl, which even for them, they have a pretty big following. That's a crappy bowl game, essentially. You're playing whoever, I don't know. But that's enough bowl talk. But it gets your point. They need to play somebody reasonably. I've always fought for get the Las Vegas Bowl a better weekend, a better date. Who care? I don't care. I hate the excuse. It's too expensive in Las Vegas over New Year's. Why don't they do it? Isn't the BBVA like January 3rd or 4th?
January 5th.
Something like that. There's one or two bowl games after January 1st. Stick it then. There's very few games on. This year, it's on December 21st. It's the very first bowl game, or the very first Saturday bowl games. And it's going to overlap with the two other Mountain West bowl games, because it's on ABC. It's going to overlap with the New Mexico Bowl and the famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that league, Craig likes that going on, where you have three bowl games on the first weekend, which is great exposure for your league, having all three at one time, but when they overlap.
Yeah, no, awesome. It's totally not, you know, it's not what we want to see.
And if it could change if they ever get that new stadium built, which that's also a laughing matter. We'd sooner see that, what's it, the Hyperloop or across the U.S. in 2 hours from L.A. to New York than we would see in a proper stadium in Las Vegas. Or a high-speed train in across California. You know what I mean?
Damn it, do you realize how accurate that is?
It's pretty big accurate. I read up... off-topic again, but if there's a high-speed train, that would be awesome. I would love to take one. They're building stuff here in Utah. They go all the way up to way north of Weber State, which is basically like an hour west of Utah State, north of the state, all the way down to well past BYU. If they can somehow get a train, continues to southern Utah, you're only 2 hours from Las Vegas. If Las Vegas and Southern California can make a high-speed train to get to Disneyland in 90 minutes, I could theoretically take a hop on a train here and be in Southern California in a couple hours. But that'll never happen. Technology is too different, and by the time they make it, it'll be outdated. And they're like, it costs $10 billion, and you know all the politics and crap, and tax money and job loss and job gain. But it's accurate. There will be a high-speed train across the country before there's a good stadium in Vegas.
Unless Las Vegas can get that magical MLS bid.
Oh, the one that just went to Orlando, you mean?
Yeah, the one that just went to Orlando. Damn it, Orlando! Stop taking our nice things!
In a state that already had two MLS teams folded in the past decade?
Yeah. Give it a few years. Orlando's going to fold.
Probably. All right, let's move on to more relevant news. The last kind of news, we talked way too long about other crap. Colorado State Rams.
Freshman QB.
Well, they're in a quarterback battle. They have... Most people thought it'd be Connor Smith or Garrett Grayson. Both saw time last year due to injury to MJ McPeak, got that nasty collarbone injury versus Air Force. However, there's a true freshman named Nick Stevens who is in the fold now. He apparently, well, Jim McElwain is saying, this is all from Colorado, and Matt Stevens did a good job of giving us some details about what's going on over there. Jim McElwain, head coach, saying, well, I want every quarterback to play with each unit, so each unit, the center exchange, the cadence, the quarterback gets to understanding. It's a rhythm thing, because if there's a different cadence, it can false start penalties. However, if you're given a true freshman, who I believe did not come in early, I think he came in during the summer, if I'm correct, so he's barely been on campus, he's getting time with the number twos. Why would he even be in the mix to get time with number twos if he's not an option?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So, I mean, something's obviously up. Whether he's really in a serious position battle to start the season or maybe come in as a special package quarterback, you know Jim McElwain's thoughts are directing towards the new guy.
It's his guy, too, as well.
This is true. It is his guy.
It's his guy. And here's what Stevens did in the scrimmage. He needs to put on some weight. He's only 6'3", 190. So he could go on the, if people remember, the Jordan Wynn diet from Utah, eating nonstop, waking up in the middle of the night to have a 2,000-calorie protein shake at 2 a.m., stuff like that. He had to pack on the pounds good. But in his last scrimmage, 16 to 23 for 226 yards and two touchdowns with a pick. Pretty impressive. And that was a 128-play scrimmage. And here's what Jim McElwain has to say. He's kind of generically speaking about the quarterback spot, not saying anything specific, but just when we talk about the quarterbacks, I think we've developed a third one, speaking of Stevens, and I think we need to probably start getting him into the mix a little bit. So either this will be you have a lot of quarterbacks or you have no quarterbacks. What would you put the odds on of him starting a true freshman against rival Colorado and what's it called? Mile High Stadium's called now. Sports Authority Field at Mile High, whatever it's called.
It's the Mile High Showdown.
Rocky Mountain Showdown at Mile High
Stadium. Rocky Mountain Showdown, sorry. And I would definitely sponsor, give him. Right? Right now, the fact that McElwain talked a lot about him. Sorry.
I will correct you. You corrected me on Moema forever last season.
That's fine. I will put him at an even 33% to start the season.
Oh, come on.
Yes. I will put him at a 30 until I see something that for sure says Grayson or Smith starting.
You put him
Nick Stevens has got a 33% chance to start.
Okay. Also, for those who want a ticket update, we know Colorado. I think Colorado has a larger fan base. They sold 24,000, almost 25,000 tickets compared to just 13,000 for CSU. Come on, fill up the stadium, Rams. But we'll see. But also, as we go dig deeper, student ticket sales are even at 2,300 or 2,400 apiece. So whatever that means for you. Can you believe 70,000 people went to this game in 2008?
No. No, I actually don't.
Me neither. And last, because it says right here, I'm just scrolling through the article, 69,616 went to the 08 game. But they go, but only 58 went to last year's game. Dude, if you get 58,000 for two teams that were not very good last year, combined five wins, yeah. All right, let's move on. Time to Utah State. We've talked enough about everything. This will be another hour plus show, perhaps, discussing what's supposed to be just Utah State. Maybe not. We're only at 24 minutes. It just seems like forever from other recording stuff going on, recording difficulties. But Utah State Aggies, right. Here's what we know. They're coming from the WAC, where they were 4 points away.
They were the final WAC champions of all time.
They were, correct, for football. Get that right. They're still around for basketball. Don't forget that. But they went 11-2. If had they beaten either Utah State or Wisconsin, they would have replaced Northern Illinois in the Orange Bowl. No joke. People laugh. They were ranked high enough. I'm assuming they would have been above Boise State because by beating Wisconsin, especially if they beat Wisconsin, they would have made it for certain. Even that BYU.
No, they would have. They should have beat Wisconsin. They should have beat BYU. Oh. And they should have gone to BCS Bowl. And I will say one thing even more. I think they would have made a better showing than NIU.
Well, think about it. I think they would, too. I watched the MAC title game. Northern Illinois versus Kent State was a couple overtime games. Very exciting game. Utah State, here's the thing. They have an offensive line. They have a running back. They had a Will Davis, and a guy who's in the NFL. Their running back core has been... been looking that up as we've been going on. Haven't been the best finding it, but they've had, I think, they had an undrafted free agent running back stick in the NFL. They've had two drafts in the past 2 years. That's why Don Jackson this year is getting all this pub to, excuse me, that's Nevada. My mistake, I'll pull, but that's the guy from Nevada. I'm thinking of a different running back. Whatever, this running back who I will find a name later will be fine because Tyler Larson, All-American center possibly, consideration, first team all WAC, Chucky Keaton, they're just amazing. Their offensive front is huge. Look, I remember watching, and their defensive front as well is amazing. Do you remember watching a Wisconsin game They have Monty Ball, or was it Monte or Monty at that time? He changed names.
Monte.
He changed it a couple times. I recall, like, when it was third and short, fourth and short, they just pushed the Wisconsin line back.
And it, yeah, and it wasn't only that, and Kerwin Williams was the person you were looking for. Throw in the fact that Utah State, and wait for it, Boise State fans, they had the best mid-major defense in the quarter in the country. They, so they gave up 27 points to San Jose State. They gave up 41 points to Louisiana Tech. Both were high offense power.
And they won.
Nobody
Tech,
else.
Right?
What?
That was more points than Texas A&M put up against La Tech.
Was more points than Texas A&M put up against Tech.
Or close to it.
Those were the most points flat out. And nowhere above 20 after that.
Their defense, because I had to answer a phone call real quick. That's why I was kind of silent there for a minute. But I remember, kind of back to my point, anytime it was third and short, they weren't, defense line wasn't, because Wisconsin, what are they known for? Fat guys up front, right?
Yeah, yeah. They huge offensive linemen just shoving the defensives all over and having a big running back just powering their way through.
And this wasn't just, say, Zach Vigil getting the backfield, sneaking past a guy for a tackle for loss against Monty Ball. No, this is the front line physically pushing back the all five Wisconsin linemen back and then getting Monty Ball for a loss. And that game, the reason Utah State lost
was a missed field goal of a bad play call.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to make sure you mentioned that. It was, I think, 3rd and 10. It ended up being a 45-yard field goal. And this year, they're also having trouble finding the kicker right now because they've been missing inconsistency. They have the guy you said is Kerwin Williams. I see going to get it this year, but Kerwin Williams, give him the ball. Give Chucky Keaton a run pass option on that play. Get about 5 yards. You're good to go. Don't go down. Don't try to go downfield. Even though, if I recall, the play should have been a completed play, if I recall. Plus, I believe there's also a questionable pass interference on that drive as well when they're very close. If I'm correct, to push
take
back.
Away all those things. If Keaton had just ran to the center and just run a dive play in the center of the field,
5 yards.
That field goal would have been,
because I remember it was very close. And then the BYU game, just an atrocity, 7-6, I think it was, or 9-6.
6-3.
Oh, 6-3. 6-3.
6-3. Yeah. There was not a touchdown scored in that game. It was all field goals.
So yeah, last year's team, they had two running. Here's the guys. Yeah, it's Robert Turbin and Michael Smith. They were both drafted last year. They lose Bobby Wagner. They've had the guy, I think 2011, they had a guy pick up on the running back, but they'll hopefully find a running back. They're a team that could have been a BCS team. Going up against Florida State, who knows what they could have done with that defensive front and Chucky Keaton running around back there. Because Keaton, well, Jordan Lynch, he's amazing and great. I think Keaton's more of a guy who will hang back there to throw and then run, not going to scramble around and try to run first.
Yes, he is definitely a throw-first quarterback. And
he'll move the pocket. They'll move the pocket side to side, which is...
No, he'll move the pocket, but he is a throw-first.
Yeah, he'll throw.
I'm sorry, 407 attempts does not imply scramble quarterback.
Got that right. Correct. All right, so everybody knows Chucky Keaton. We briefly mentioned the autograph cards for Heisman. We're going to have the Heisman pundit on next week to discuss. We know the odds of anybody from Chucky Keaton or anybody else really getting to New York City will be a long shot, but had he gone the BCS game, who knows?
I think, yeah.
He would have worked, because even Jordan Lynch right now, he's getting some pub, but nothing huge because they're not expected to be as good. I think they're possibly contend for the MAC. Well, neither is Utah State, really. If you think about it, they're, what are they, Rick, third in the West Division, in the Mountain Division, or second in the Mountain Division behind Boise State?
Second,
that's right. But all, here's what we need. All you need to know about Utah State. Well, there's a lot more than just you need to know. We did not mention Gary Anderson has gone to Wisconsin. Matt Wells was promoted within. Young head coach. He's the OC, so the offense will be fine. I always hear the threat. Oh, if they don't hire the OC, Chucky Keaton's going to transfer. Really? They would transfer if they brought in Paul Johnson or Ken, the Navy head coach Ken, bring in the triple option to town, to Logan. Or if they bring in, say, John L. Smith's a bad example, but who left Wisconsin? Brett Bielema comes to Utah State to run that type of offense. He wasn't going to go anywhere. It was pretty unlikely. So you get... And their offense will be fine. I remember there's one interview Matt Wells is doing. They ask him about the defense. He just doesn't answer. It's like, his response, I think the question was something about, what do you guys do defense, or kind of, he's not a defensive coach, because Anderson was. Anderson was a master recruiter and a great defensive coach. Wells' answer was, we'll be multiple. And that's all he says on defense. We're going to be multiple. It's like, thanks, coach. Those are the things that are weird. But on the offense, because that's where Wells' forte is, they bring back five players who started at least 10 games. And we already mentioned Tyler Larson, who is in our top 10 of our countdown list, the center on the top 10 list. We'll give that away.
What?
We're approaching the top 10. He's first team all WAC the past 2 years, 38 career starts. Here's the thing. Here's how good they're. Okay, it's in the WAC, say what you want, but if Eric Schultz, right tackle, Jamie Marcus Owen, left guard, both were first or all WAC players. Schultz was first team, Marcus Owen, second team. And then you got Kyle Wimpy, and I guess they're brothers, I'm assuming. Yes, brothers Wimpy.
Might be.
They have 12 and 13 starts between them. They have a few other backups. So their offensive line will be great. And this isn't Air Force's offensive line. They're all over 300 pounds. 6'4". The shrimp on the line is 6'2", 302.
Yeah, I mean, they are big dudes.
And that's how they're going to push against DeMarcus Lawrence, or if they go up against whoever in Nevada. Well, that's not a good example, Nevada. But whatever Air Force or whoever's going to throw up against them, they're going to be just as big, if not bigger, than anybody else. Like, when they play Utah opening week, they'll be just as big as anybody Utah brings out on the field.
And if there's a concern on this team, at least on the offensive side, it's the receiving core, because you lose your top four receivers. However, okay, you get a leading senior who saw a little bit of action last year. He was a slot receiver. And then you have another senior in Travis Van Leeuwen. So you've got four seniors who are going to be playing. So they're all veterans, even though they've all seen limited time. But then right behind them, you got sophomores and juniors who are, you know, good size.
Look at Brandon Swindle, because we mentioned the star thing last time. Three-star, only had three receptions, but he's a good size. 6'4", hopefully he's pretty decent size, 195. Well, probably a bit bigger, just under 200 pounds. But he's got the height to give that fade route to anybody, because they need a big receiver. Reynolds, 5'11", Bruce Natson, 5'7", Joe Hill. That's the other guy, the running back, who I was thinking of this year, who should step up and be huge. He'll get some passes because Curt Williams had 57 receptions last year, was their third leading receiver.
And not only that, you've got DJ Tealavea, who's their senior tight end, 6'4", 266.
We'll see what they can get him on the offense. He only had nine. It was only thrown to nine times. But
right.
The offense is going to be seen. They don't use it that often, but you got a guy that
size.
When
they use him, it's going to be a key. I mean,
that is the concern. The receiver core is decimated, but it's not like you're leading receiver. A lot of teams are fine with a guy who has 33 receptions returning. Look at Wyoming. They have Robert Heron. Yeah, he missed four games due to that nasty neck injury early on. He got taken off on the stretcher. He still had 31 receptions, and he's considered. Behind Devonta Adams, possibly a top, and Brandon Wimberly of Nevada, top five receiver. Because he had 31 receptions, 8 touchdowns. Pretty good ratio there. And so you can return a guy that's 33, or not, excuse me, that's targets, I apologize, 25 for Reynolds. That's still 2 a game. It's still pretty good, considering what else they had last year. With all these guys getting 40-plus receptions, they spread the ball around. So they don't need one guy to get 80 receptions to be fine. Keaton will find whomever's out there open.
Yeah, no, exactly. And, I mean, once again, even if you don't get your receivers open, short passes to get quick yards, that's ways you can sustain a drive.
Or just running the ball, because
Keaton. Or just running the ball.
You got to throw that.
You've got a big offensive line, you use it.
So I think their offense will be fine. It's because you got the same guy back there. Well, it's just like the receiving core. You'll have Joe Hill will be fine getting those quick, short receptions, taking over what Kerwin Williams did last season. Their main concern, which defense, go to defense. As I kind of joked before, Matt Wells is not too keen on giving anything out on the defense. But the quarterback position, one other thing we need to mention, not that Tricky Keaton's in danger of losing his job, backup is still up in the air. So that if there's any issue, and here's what they have, a true freshman, redshirt, basically whoever they have has not played an FBS snap. They have a JUCO transfer from Snow College,
And they've got a true freshman.
True freshman and a redshirt freshman. Names aren't important right now. I think I wrote something about it, but they're just vying for the backup. My assumption is that true freshman is going to redshirt. Retro freshman is a good backup, and the JUCO guy maybe third string or change whatever. It's going to be interesting to see if Keaton does good. If he goes down, I wouldn't say they're in trouble, but they're going to obviously rely heavily on Joe Hill in the running game and that huge offensive line to give them time. And then also one quick thing about their scrimmage, really quick. They had recently, because this is fall camp, it's not like we have no news. I got this up from the Salt Lake Tribune, Keaton. No big deal, 172 yards passing, 3 TDs in the scrimmage the other day. And let's see here. Also, they had, let me see here, blah, 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 blah. Receiver JoJo Natson. Is he even listed who we said here a moment ago? He actually had an awesome scrimmage. Even though it's a scrimmage, you got to take what it's worth. They're probably not doing too many things on defense or what they're going up against. They are, but may not be. Their amazing scheme, or a lot of guys say, like, good players sit out. Like, I've heard some stuff because we watched BYU a little bit because they're playing Utah State, they're gonna be playing Nevada. They're missing some of their defensive guys, just very minor injuries, so they're gonna sit them out. And JoJo Natson, I'm gonna look him up. He is not listed on Bill C's preview, so he's just basically 47 receptions on 4 catches, so he actually could be another receiver in the mix. And then all we've kind of said before is that the quarterback is up in the air, and then kicking. We all already mentioned the kicking game versus the BYU game. Kicking was a mess. Wisconsin, an issue. If you know a kicker's name, that's a problem. They have, I guess, these pair of brothers here, Jake and Josh Thompson, both missed 43-yarders. They did note in parentheses, Nick Diaz made a 21-yarder, which is a freaking field goal. It's like, come on, you better be making those. And so right. That,
I mean, and the one thing that you can definitely say about Diaz was last year, you know, point after attempts, he was 40 for 40. Which, I mean, you should make a point after attempt, but, I mean, things happen. Blocked kicks or whatever, sometimes that 40 for 40 doesn't happen, but he at least was consistent.
Sure, also, but Wells does continue to say they also missed a few other chip shots as well. So, if this is an issue, this Mountain West is not the whack. Even... It's a much tougher league, and you can't miss field goals. You need all the points you can get. When you see the offenses that Nevada's going to roll off, Fresno, Boise, Wyoming's potential to be a good offense, San Jose State. So you got to be making those field goals. So let's go to the defense really quick. That's kind of a quick scrimmage update. Let's go to the – like I mentioned, JoJo Natson. I'm not sure who he is, but he had a good scrimmage. The receiving core, they said, played extremely well. I'm trying to see any other names here.
No, what they were mentioning was that Keaton's incompletions during scrimmage were either just throwaways or they were just, you know,
the helmet.
Long passes.
So I'd say it's good to hear. So that's whoever's playing receiver out there, Natson or whoever's going to be playing, it's good to know. Plus, Keaton's so on target, if he's going to miss, it's going to be because it's a super tight throw or, like you said, deep pass or throwaways. But as for the defense, like I mentioned, their defense is great. They're no joke. Their linebacking core. Who would you, do you think anybody in the Mountain West can rival that group?
Maybe Boise State.
Possibly.
Maybe.
And Boise State lost a couple of guys. Like they have. Here's who they have: Jack Doughty, Zach Vigil, Kyler.
Jake Doughty, Zach Vigil, Kyler Fackrell,
Travis McMillan, all upperclassmen. Well, Fackrell is a sophomore. And then they also have Nick Vigil. I think we put on our list. Did we put him on our list up there high, maybe?
No. I know. I don't.
I think somebody voted for him, but he's retro freshman to step in and play well. LeBradford Harold, a three-star guy, sophomore, going to see more time. But
played in 8 games last year, 2 tackles.
Two tackles. Yes.
hey, you know what, though?
8 games, though. 8 games.
He had an interception as well.
Yeah, 8 games. But playing 8 games, that's perfectly fine. But it's probably here's a play here or there, but... All these guys they have, they look what they bring in. They have the returning starting linebacking core, 11 and a half sacks, about 30 tackles for loss, or 25 for loss. This is the starters, not including even people who haven't played time last year, played in plenty of games. Like Terrell Thompson had only 3.5 tackles, played 8 games. Michael Aquanico, is that how you say it? Aquanico? played 11 games, only four tackles. The thing is, they're getting playing time. So they're going to get probably a little bit more this year because they are losing a couple, one or two guys ahead of them who played well. But those guys are going to be all Mountain West consideration, I believe.
And you could see Vigil's younger brother possibly playing some time now, especially since he's a redshirt freshman.
That crew is going to be, look at these guys, 70 tackles, 60 tackles right about there. They're just getting to the ball and making plays. And they're going to need that and get to the quarterback because, well, the defensive line, no need to get into many names, but they're kind of the same situation. They're bringing back everybody who played last year.
Yeah, and one thing you could say about the defensive line as opposed to the linebackers, if San Jose State, who we talked about before, mm-hmm. has the best defensive line in the Mountain West, the Utah State linebackers are the best in the Mountain West.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Yeah, and I mean, you guys, you have to, you know, if you're an offense facing these linebackers, you've got to figure out a way to, you know, make those plays because they're going to be on top of you.
Yeah, you got to do the misdirection, zone read, get them off track with the option, things like that that teams will do. Play action, just to get them, not that they shouldn't be confused by that, but even if you get them the half hip move or half step, the lean forward when the guy tight end's going right past them on a play action, anything to get one of them off balance for even a all it takes is maybe half a second for you see a guy take lean forward or take that side step the wrong way, get beat. It's like we say, I mentioned when the Air Force option, the first time that defender commits or the first time you're the nose tackle and don't go after the fullback dive is the time they'll beat you for a big play. And that's what offenses need to attempt to do. And it's just that talent. It's their guys, they're probably got a couple who go in the NFL in a couple of years. They will have plenty of consideration for Mountain West, all these awards and stuff. And that's just an area if you can get just make some plays because they don't need to blitz that often with them with their returning four of their five starting offensive defensive linemen last year. However many they're going to put on line, but they returned five of their top six defensive linemen. So it's not like they're going to need to blitz every time. If they do blitz, bring one or two defense linebackers in, the outside guys, like maybe Frack Rohlad, I think looked like, what, three sacks and four tackles for loss, including three sacks in the last scrimmage. Have them come in. You still have the three capable in their 3-4 set to be able to just drop back and do what they do. The concern is they might need to blitz because their secondary is not that it's going to be.
I wouldn't say the secondary is bad. There's question marks. You lost your two top guys.
So it's Will Davis, the NFL, and he's very difficult to replace. Yeah, we don't know.
And Brady is done.
True, but we just don't know if how they are because they're inexperienced. And in this league, we joke about Nevada all the time. Deep ball, they got cream. You're in a passing league. Everybody knows the quarterback. Fajardo, who can throw pretty well, even though he's kind of a runner.
I'm going to disagree though. I'm going to say they are experienced, but they're subpar. I mean, yeah, you've got Nevin Lawson, who's a senior. You got Brian Sweet, Frankie Cetera, and Marius Alexander, juniors and seniors. And they played in almost every single game last year. So it's not that they're inexperienced. They're quite experienced, but they're on par. They're not standing out as opposed to the defensive line or the linebackers. They're kind of in the shadows, and you can tell because they tend to, that's where the most of the yards are given up.
Maybe it's more of that. Maybe I was just misspeaking or saying it's more of that, I would say kind of reading a bit from what's going on. It's more of there's just a battle of who's going to see playing time. That might be where it's more concerned than if that's the case, like who's playing where. Because in the secondary, you want to be on the same page. Because I think we spoke with Duke Williams last year for whenever we interviewed him from Nevada, guy got drafted. To ask him, like, how important is it to play with experienced guys? Even though we joked Nevada's secondary wasn't good, but if you're on target, if you know this guy, your safety, your line, or any of your defense, but particularly if you're a safety, if you know he's going to get to that place, you know he's going to be there on his coverage, you know you can maybe have a little more leeway to make this play because you know you're going to be covered. If you jump on the ball, you know who's going to be there. If they're familiar with their playing style, that's even more important. But if they're not, by switching around, trying to get you starting, that's also a concern as well. But it's just got to figure out who's going to start and who's not. Because one of the biggest guys Matt Wells is kind of highlighting is Rashard Stewart, who goes after the ball, can knock the ball down, can make plays. It's just where, and then you have, like, they have Glover Wright, Taylor Glover Wright, who's just a freak athlete who get around intercept the ball, tackle guy. He's like not just the best athlete in the secondary, he's possibly the best athlete on the team, right up there like Chucky Keaton and probably those linebackers. I think they just need to find who's going to start, possibly.
Right, and if you see that Glover Wright and Stewart both start over, you know, they won't start over Lawson and Sweet, but if they start over Sotera and Alexander, I mean, there you go. I mean, that's your, you know, that's your surprise.
Well, Glover Wright's their highest rated recruit as well, out of the other ones, and he played in every game last year. Because if you look who's coming back, Lawson 13. Everybody who played 12 or 13 games. Even Sanders played 9 games at safety. So they're playing plenty of people back there. So I guess maybe I just misspeaking. Obviously, got to read up a bit more and everything. You're covering the whole league. It's got to pick and choose what you're looking at here.
Well, it's no, but it's one of those things that, like as I mentioned before, the rushing defense was ranked, you know, 14th. They were ranked very highly, and then the passing, you know, defense went dropped, you know, 31st in the country, which is still pretty high, but, I mean, it's a significant drop.
And San Jose State, too.
Yeah, it's a significant drop, and guess what? This is a very pass-happy league, no doubt about it. You're going to look at the schedule, and we'll go over the schedule in a moment, but you're facing, you know, you will be facing USC, and whoever's, you know, starting at USC, you're going to have tons of receivers there, even if you have a freshman Marquise quarterback. You know, you're at San Jose State. You're going to have, you know, Taysom Hill at BYU, Boise State. You're going to
BYU's got Cody Hobbin, probably the best receiver in the country, right there, top 5 receiver.
Right. You've got Taylor Graham, who's, you know,
Billy Ray.
Billy Ray Graham, you know, one-two punch. We could forget Colorado State because we don't know who's starting yet. And you've got possibly even Nick Sherry at UNLV who could turn out, as well as Brett Smith. So this is a very pass-happy league, and they're going to be playing pass-happy teams. The secondary is going to be able to have to be the ones to step up.
Sure, let's get to the schedule now.
That went on my rant on the list.
No, that kind of covers part of our schedule. Basically, it's except for Air Force and Weber State and New Mexico.
And Utah.
Utah? Yeah.
I don't know how pass happy Utah is.
No. Here's the thing about Utah. We know nothing. Even the people who watch them, well, if you can watch them every day, know nothing. I know some colleagues who do some stuff like that. Utah scrimmage, we show up for, because you can watch the last half hour practice. They'll have the 4-string quarterback in there running one play from scrimmage. It's a handoff dive like it's a goal line play. Thanks for showing up. So even the people who know Utah don't know Utah at all.
Like playing a bad game of You Don't Know Jack.
All we do know is that Travis Wilson, sophomore quarterback, didn't play 12 last year. They do have some receivers as well, like Drez. I should know this, but I think they still have Kenneth Stott and Drez Anderson out there on the outside. He should be pretty good. Tight end. Kevin Murphy's probably their best player on offense, perhaps, which is not what you want to see in that new offense there.
All right.
But that game, we'll continue with that. That's a huge rival game. If they can win again, I'm going to try to look it up, but I don't think they've beaten Utah twice in a row in probably over 50 years. That is probably a safe bet to say.
No, it's been an extremely long time. And, I mean, the way, you know, while you're looking that up, the way that Utah State's schedule is set up, it's extremely interesting. You've got somewhat of a weaker, I'm going to go ahead and call Utah kind of a weak team here.
Yeah,
You've got a weak start, and then you play your hardest teams in the exact middle of the schedule, and then you basically play your weakest teams at the end. So Utah State has a very, I would say they have a very favorable schedule in that regard.
Yeah, they obviously do. I don't think I'll find it here. I'm trying to look up Sports Reference. It's usually pretty good, but safe to say Utah State, the past years have been amazing. Before that, Brent Guy, when they had Jonathan Smith, they made a bowl game, but they've just been awful. They were pretty new to FBS since 94, but the Utah, I'm trying to pull it up here, but it's been a long time. I don't need to go into that, but I'm safe to say 50 years would be a nice round time to stay. Maybe the late 80s and Utah wasn't very good before Rod McBride showed up, but you're right, their schedule is fine. Utah State, they do play at Air Force, which the run option option. We don't know run option offense, not run option option. But that's a team they haven't seen them, and that seriously could be a loss on the schedule. They could start off with losing Air Force right there.
No, exactly.
However, so, that line, and as we gushed over the linebacking core and defensive line, they should be okay, I think. It just might be a low-scoring game, like 21-10 or something like that, if they're going to pull out a close win.
Okay. It's actually sooner than you think. I just found it. The last time Utah State won back-to-back games against Utah, 1996-1997.
So the last... Really? Well, okay.
Yeah. Interesting. So.
Good to know. So I was trying to... Sorry, Utah State fans. So that's interesting. I was trying guessing because we know Utah State's been terrible forever, but I guess Utah was pretty bad during then. Weber State win, whatever. USC, are you still leaning for this to be an upset?
I am on the beat USC bandwagon, Lane Kiffin for UNLV.
Are you going to the
if, see if you were listening last week, you would know where we were coming from.
Yeah.
No, but I am totally. I could totally picture Utah State taking down USC in the Coliseum.
That'd be awesome.
For USC, there's still too many questions to answer. Not only that, they've got a horrible coach. Not only that, you have Chucky Heaton, and I don't care what you say about Marquise Lee and a USC defense. We saw this last year. Wisconsin was getting pushed over by USC's defense. It's going to happen again. And I think Utah State, after the past 2 years of kind of falling at the challenge, remember 2 years ago against Auburn, they led the whole game at Auburn and then fell apart at in quite literally the last minute.
They should have won. They should have won that game.
They should have won that game. They should have beat Wisconsin last year. This year is the year that they're going to beat a big opponent.
They're going to get it.
In their territory.
Also, if this is still accurate, I will look this up once we get to game week and do some more research. If I recall, because they're finally on the scholarship reduction for the Reggie Bush stuff that happened. Damn. They're possibly going to be playing some wide receivers at defensive back for depth. Possibly. I recall reading that in the spring. We'll get to that more once the season begins in 2 weeks, remind you, 2 weeks, in our preview show for week one. I'll look into that further, but they were going to put some receivers out there for depth. And if you put a receiver playing DB against Chucky Heaton, you're in trouble.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And then also reading over, this is a week ago, the Marquise Lee injury. Sorry, I went to Conquest Chronicles for breaking news. This is breaking news from last week. Sorry, I was going to say Marquise Lee injury, but I think he's considered fine.
Yeah,
so you think this is the year?
No, it's not. He's definitely going to be fine by the USC.
So this is the year you think where they can get one of these marquee wins? Because they did get it last year by beating Utah. Even though Utah wasn't very good at the time, they smacked around Utah as well. And got that one.
So, you know, I think that Utah State goes on the road and beats USC on the road.
It's a big challenge. And they were, I don't think
hey, this is not one of my stupid upset picks. This is very realistic.
After reading up on this team, it makes sense because at this point, USC should have a quarterback who they know is going to play. So that shouldn't be coming to concern in week four. They, as I emphasize, should have a quarterback in place, which I don't think Kiffin's the guy who's going to just swap route and change whoever. But it helps to have Matt Barkley last year where he'll play if he has a broken arm, essentially, almost. So I don't think they're going to swap route and switch whoever. It makes sense where because their defense is good enough that I think they might – I think just kind of – hang on, their DBs can hang with Marquise Lee and whoever else is out there. If they could somehow limit them or just make him make all the plays, block everybody else, stop everybody else on the receiving core down. And because they still have, I believe, don't they still have Curtis McNeil, a transfer from Penn State last year? Isn't he their running back this season? I believe that's who it was. Or was he there?
Not Curtis McNeil. What's his face?
We know nothing.
I know who you're talking about.
They had a Penn State. Okay, no, the Penn State.
It's not Curtis McNeil.
Sure, you're correct. He's been with USC. But he's back anyways. He's still on the team.
No, I know. Whoever Silas is. Red. Silas
yeah,
Red.
Yes, yes, that's it. Silas Red, yes, that's it.
Curtis McNeil.
Well, I at least I got the guy right, the same team, right team.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, Silas Red, that's the guy. So,
so anyway, now that we're thoroughly done bickering.
Yes.
Maybe.
So if I'm going to say right now, I'm going to say lost right now, but I wouldn't be surprised at the moment. Because this defense has something to be possibly. Thing is, they replaced Anderson, who was their defensive coach. So there's a reason to kind of hedge your bets to don't sound the upset alarm right now. And then
they don't have an opening line for it, do they?
I could probably find it here. I'll find that. You can kind of talk about the San Jose State game really quick while I look that up.
All right, so the San Jose State game is an interesting game because you got David Fales, Noel Grigsby. We talked about San Jose State with Jeremy Durkin last week. This is a really good matchup. The biggest thing that Utah State has to worry about is they're going to Spartan Stadium. That being said,
on a Friday night.
Friday night Waction, which is not Waction anymore. It's Mountain West Action. That being said, I can't see Utah State not walking out of there with a win.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. I say that's a win hands down. Now, if San Jose State wins that game, I'm sorry, but then I think that San Jose State is a lot stronger than what we even think.
Interesting. So you're almost saying for certain they can beat San Jose State on the road.
Yes.
On only six days.
On only
back
six days.
Back to back road games.
Yes.
Not that the far road game, couple hour plane flight, but interesting. And I don't think there's odds set up for that game. Yeah, I know there are, but I'm not finding it at the moment. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 2-touchdown favorite for USC.
Yeah, and if it's a 2-touchdown favorite, I'm sorry, I'm picking Utah State. I'm picking the under on that.
The under? Okay. Oh, actually, I think I may find it here. Let me take a quick look really quick.
All right. Well, wait, really quick.
You seriously think they can just walk in this? Well, like I'm saying, it's a big to walk into Spartan Stadium and get a win. You think it's...
No, I seriously do, though. I seriously do. And I think it's because both San Jose State and Utah State, remember, horrible histories. Utah State's been slightly more successful than San Jose State. And
barely.
I mean... I think that Utah State, even though San Jose State's going to have more of an offensive advantage, mm-hmm. hands down, Utah State has the defensive advantage. And that's even with San Jose State's front four.
And their Ben Williker up there in secondary, who you rank so low on our list.
Shut up.
We'll get that later. You'll see that soon. That'll be, if you see that blank spot around number 40 to 50 on Chris's spot, you'll know who that is.
Yeah, thanks.
But I can see it happening, because what was it last year? Didn't Utah State win a close game last year against them? It was in Logan, I believe, if I'm correct.
I don't think it was close last year.
Let me see.
No, here. It wasn't close last year.
Let me see. I'm trying to refresh. I'm assuming it would have been if the Mountain
West... No, it was 49-27, and it was at San Jose State.
Oh, so they're keeping it on the road 2 years in a row. That's correct. Yeah.
No, it wasn't a blowout, but it was a significant win.
Interesting.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, the defense is going to take this one, and I'm not going to say that they're going to win as big as they did last year, but I think it's going to be an easy win for Utah State this game.
Okay, if that's the case, let's move quickly because we're almost at the hour point. Let's go to BYU.
We talked an hour about UNLV. We can certainly afford an hour for Utah State.
Yes. So they have so many interesting games. I want to talk about them all. So that's kind of where we're at here. And we got off topic with that bowl game talk forever. Beef O'Brady discussion earlier, about half 45
minutes
ago.
So then after San Jose State, though, then they come home and they face BYU.
I am so going to try to get to that game. I'm going to do my best to get to there. I will drive. Here's the thing, though. I'm 2 hours from Logan. It's not 2.5 hours. So it's not like I'm not going to spend the night anywhere. I'm going to, maybe I can convince my employer to pay me for that game, perhaps. I could say, hey, let me head to that game. I cover BYU anyway for you. Let me do Utah State. And then next week they play Boise. But BYU, this game's been interesting because BYU recent news, They finally scheduled, so it's equal footing to home and home for the next couple of years. It's a 2-for-2, essentially. It's not a 2-for-1, which BYU wants, which can't blame them for trying. But really, you're, come on. You're, whatever.
BYU, you're not a storied program anymore. Shut up.
They have some clout, but they are what they are. We know who they are. They also, some news on them, they lost their starting, one of the starting defensive backs to a torn ACL. Probably starting a true freshman from Oregon who is a, I should have all these names, but I'm not stuck on their BYU mode at the moment for whatever I do down there. But they are losing their starting guy who's going to start at nose guard, torn pectoral muscle. That's going to hurt.
Yeah.
And apparently that dude, Tony Canucci, I think his name is. He tore his pec muscle. He finished practice. Thought he just bummed his shoulder or something. Tore his freaking pec muscle and finished practice. But their defense, you know Kyle Van Noy, everybody knows him. They have Spencer Hadley, people may not know, but they will know soon. They have a good linebacking core, nose guard's an issue. Secondary has some athletes, but now they're greatly losing a lot of players to injury. Offensive line, they brought in, a million JUCO players? Not exaggerating, I think seriously, 8 JUCO players for the offensive line. And by that point, you'd hope they know what they're doing. And they're running their. If I ever hear hard and fast again by any college coach, I'm going to puke because they say it every day at practice with Robert and I down there. They're going to change. It's not going to be like last year's game. This is going to be a shootout, in my opinion. Because BYU has a great quarterback in Taysom Hill. He's actually throwing the ball better. They have Jamal Williams, a good, very good running back. They're deeper running back. Cody Hoffman, who you know and everybody should know, could be a first-round draft pick this upcoming draft. He had 100 passes receptions last year with Riley Nelson throwing him the ball.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's not even a quarterback. And so they have the offense to match whatever defense they throw. However, Utah State's Chucky Keaton. Is that all we could say for our excuse? Chucky Keaton, that's all you got to say for them?
No. That's pretty much all we have to say.
Well, they got more than that, not to disrespect them. But I think this game will be... It better be but more entertaining than it was last year because that game was awful to watch.
That was horrible last year.
But this game, the key thing I look at is that the secondary for Utah State stands up, and it's got to slow down the BYU offense because their offense is going to be what they used to be years ago with Ty Detmer, Jason Beck, whoever their quarterbacks. I don't remember them all. They have so many.
Is that even with a spirit, honor, and tradition?
I don't know what. Whatever. No, that was a debacle. What about integrity? That integrity, it's an honor code violation, but that's something different.
All right, we'll move on.
If you're gonna pick a winner, I assume you're just gonna go Utah State because of your hatred for the Cougars.
I hate BYU. Okay, now that we've
that'll be a good game. I think it'll
be cool. I hate BYU. No, it's gonna be a really good game. It should be really fun. But I definitely think that Utah State takes the Beehive Boom for the second year in a row.
Yeah, they present that proudly at their football complex. So if we're at this point, you're assuming undefeated?
I am.
Okay, if they're 6-0 heading to Boise State, how high would they be ranked?
Ooh.
Because you've beaten two Pac-12 teams.
You've beaten one, maybe two ranked teams.
USC and who's the other one, BYU?
Either BYU or I think San Jose State might be ranked depending on how they do it.
BYU. If they beat Texas, they'll have a bye already. So, and the other games are nothing special. Virginia, okay.
So they'll have beaten one ranked team at that point. Okay. Let's say safe. One ranked team.
Do you think they'll be top 15 after 6-0 heading into Boise State?
Maybe.
Side question. Even though the game's on CBS, if it's a Boise State undefeated, Utah State undefeated, would there be game day in Logan?
Ooh. Oh.
Because that would be 5-0 Boise State.
That would be 5-0 Boise State.
That's possible. 5-0
Boise State. That's definitely a possibility. What other games are scheduled that weekend?
You want to get to that already? Hold on a minute.
You know what? No. Yeah, I'll get to that, and you keep on talking.
Get that later on. So, I don't want to go too much every game. Here's the thing about Boise State. They haven't played Utah State since the old WAC days. What was it 2011? 2010 they played them last. And if I recall, it was not a pretty sight.
Nope.
That's before that's Chuck E. Keaton's freshman year, and that was
ugly.
50-14. Yeah, final game of the season. Excuse me, nothing to play for Utah State or Boise State, really. This game now, Boise better be ready for this team. Because we've already, there's so much, there's not much to say left for Utah State, but here's the brass tacks of the game. It's at Logan, they give it home. It's a mid-afternoon game, potentially two ranked teams going down the road, and it's going to come down to, is it the same thing? Is it if the Utah State offense can actually move that Boise defense and not let DeMarcus Lawrence get 10 sacks? Could that be what it comes down to almost?
Yeah, I think so.
The front line? Because even though, was it Boise's returning only, what, five defensive starters back? They're still going to be a very good team on the defense side of the ball. Because even though Peterson's a known offensive coach, he's going to be, they know what they're doing on defense. They've had a handful of guys drafted in the NFL, or at least opportunities in the NFL. And Boise will, because prior to them playing Utah State, I don't think they've played a quarterback like Chucky Keaton. Because, no, you've got Washington, Keith Price a little bit, Washington, but they play FCS, UT Martin, Air Force, and they got the running ability from their run option offense. Derek Carr is a statue back there, essentially. Southern Miss is just terrible, at least last year.
All right. Keep on going.
That's all I was going to say. Do you have the games? I pulled them up here as well.
Yeah, I've got the games right here.
What are some big games of the fifth week?
South Carolina at Arkansas. Mm.
Now you got the wrong
Florida,
week.
Florida at LSU.
You're on the wrong week, pal. Oh, no, I'm on the wrong week. I apologize.
Yeah, Florida at LSU. I might have a possibility. Oklahoma at Texas. Nope, we lose.
Oh, man. Red River Shootout. Red River Shootout.
Well, don't let anybody ever tell you differently. Sure. There's even the backyard brawl that week. West Virginia. Pitt, Virginia Tech. Oregon at Washington. Northwest hate.
I guess if it was an ESPN game, I could see them going there, but Michigan, Penn State perhaps as well. Yeah, they're not going to get that. So let's New Mexico, we don't need to talk about it. It's just a running attack. Hawaii, whatever, win. UNLV, win. Their schedule, there's no reason. Their last half is easy. Four games in 6 weeks, and they're against Hawaii, UNLV, CSU, and Wyoming. Wyoming could be an interesting game, I think, perhaps.
No, it's in Logan.
So? What's the difference in Logan and Laramie? Oops, hate mail. No.
You don't want me to say.
I've been to both. Logan's a tiny bit better, I'd say. Well, a few more people. You're at least.
But really, that's an extremely easy schedule after that brutal middle schedule that they have.
So if we go best case, worst case, what do you think because you're high on them. If they're beating USC, do you think they're going to beat Boise State? We never asked you for a win or Boise State. Do you think that could be a win?
It could be a win. It won't be.
It won't be. So what do you think? Do you think they're going to be just behind Boise State in the Mountain Division?
Yes.
And what do you think they're 11-1?
They're going to be 11-1.
You would say that not like just best case, but you think that's a serious consideration for them to be.
That's a serious consideration. Best case, honestly, best case they could go 12-0. It depends on how.
We're always too high at all these teams. We always say 12-0, 12-0.
No. Listen here. All right. Absolute best case scenario. Think about how Boise State starts the season. Think about how Utah State starts the season and plays through at USC. If Boise State loses to Washington and then loses to BYU, which, I mean, once again, won't happen, and Utah State goes into the Coliseum, beats USC, and then utterly, you know, runs through the rest of their schedule, you could easily see Utah State going 12-0.
Sure, but that schedule, USC, here's the thing, at USC, at San Jose State, BYU, Boise, that's tough.
No, it's extremely tough. That's why I'm saying they're not going to.
And Utah's not a gimme either, even though part of it is it's the thing where we've beaten you forever, you got lucky last year, because they kind of did last year a little bit, got lucky. On a cut fire call, a few calls here and there that are questionable. It's kind of, some Utah fans consider it kind of lucky win for Utah State. Utah had their chances to do it. But that's not a gimme one either, even though Utah may end up going 5-7. I'm going to give Utah State the edge by quite a bit, just because of they bring back so many good players, and good talent. Utah is just an utter mess, which really should give Utah State more credit to come in and win. But the people in Utah and the coach is like, I'm guaranteed they're like, oh, we beat them forever. Last year was just lucky. They're this small team's never won anything. We're going to beat them. But until they see it happen, they better be prepared for that game when they play Utah State. I could see it's not out of the possibility. It's not like it's saying we're crazy to say they're 12-0. I'm going to think I think they're best. Well, okay, best case, I'll go with you 12-0. It's not going to happen, but that's a possibility. Here's where I think.
Really, what's your worst case scenario here?
Worst case, I think it could get ugly. I could see them losing to Utah, losing to Air Force, USC, San Jose State, BYU, Boise State.
You really think this could be a 5-7 team?
I don't think it will, but a couple things. There's players on this team who just now started to win. They've been on teams that were terrible, like the seniors, redshirt seniors, juniors, redshirt juniors. They've seen some pretty bad football. They're with Brent Guy, who's just awful. Worst coach, terrible. But you think about it, Utah's not a gimme win. Air Force, they've never played them before. Even though they have a good defensive line and the linebacker's back, that's not a gimme win. Boise State struggled a bit against Boise State struggled against Air Force last year. USC, they got talent. They theoretically should never have an issue with Utah State. San Jose State has a very good offense. BYU's same thing as Utah. They've always beaten up on them. They've always the crappy team in the state. BYU's better than Utah, I think, this year. And then Boise State, very good. Those are all those games outside of Weber State, they could be toss-up games. I could see all those good games going either way.
I guess.
I'm just saying, can't you see them losing to Boise State or BYU?
Oh, no, I can totally see them losing definitely to Boise State, maybe BYU. But, I mean, BYU's injuries right now, who knows?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, I honestly think it's a realistic expectation that they will be either 11-1 or 10-2.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just going worst case. Do you not agree with me? Those could all be losses?
No, worst case, I still think they're bowl bound. I still think they're 6-16.
Okay. I might be giving too much credit to Utah and Air Force. Those are probably two right there that they should still get. Because I think they should be 3-0 heading into the Coliseum. However, I go back to they've never seen, not that they've never, but that trip run option offense is tough to prepare for. But they do get a break by getting an extra 2 days by playing Thursday night. And they get Air Force early, who is still dealing with a new QB. So I guess if I'm going to go what I expect to happen, I think they'll get about nine wins. I still think they can go through. They're not going to go 4-0 versus USC, San Jose State, BYU, Boise State. I'm assuming.
No, they're not.
I think they'll go. Oh, then I got to give a loss to some team I don't think they'll lose to.
See? You see? You see?
I got you. I'm just trying to not be like super fan, super league guy. Oh, they're going to, everybody's going every game, which ain't going
to
happen.
No, leave that to me with the unrealistic expectations.
Okay, I'll just say this. I think just because the way the schedule goes, I'm going to go 9 wins is what I think will happen.
Okay, so where are your losses?
USC.
Okay.
Not that I regret. I should be more USC. Like they should want to win that game. USC. Boise State.
Okay. It's either going to be BYU or San Diego State. Or San Diego State. BYU or San Jose State.
I think they'll get BYU. But then I'm still not sold on the beating Utah Air Force still. I think. I don't know. We're just wasting time here just thinking about me thinking out loud. I think 9 wins. Okay, here's for a fact. They're not going to lose to New Mexico, Hawaii, Vegas, Rams, or Cowboys. So it's all in the top half schedule. So anyway. Yeah, I'm going to go 9 wins. I'm just going to go 9 wins. I don't want to say who right now. I just think even though I want them to beat USC, they're going to lose to USC and probably Boise State. The other game, any of the other ones outside of Weber State. I think that's fair enough because that's, if you listened to me 2 minutes ago, I pegged them at 5-7, losing to everybody but Weber State on schedule. So they're going to be a bowl team. I think they can win the league, but it's going to take a really good season, injury-free. Here's the thing, too. People know who they are, but new coach and stuff, they may not really know who they are. that's where I'm going to kind of go with. I'm going nine wins probably is a safe bet. Double-digit wins again for a team with new head coach who's never done it before. Tough to do.
You know what? Okay, I'll be safe, and I'll say 10 wins.
Safe. So just, who's your losses then?
My losses will then be to Boise State and inexplicably to BYU.
Ooh. Two home games?
I'm still... What?
Two home games. Well, not that their home field advantage is special, but still, you're at home.
I still think they're going to beat USC. You don't know how much, not only I want this to happen, but how much I really think it's going to happen.
It could happen. It's also Georgia Tech. They lost to Georgia freaking Tech last year.
Not just like barely lost. They got manhandled.
Two touchdowns, fight in the locker room, allegedly, for what people say. Fight in the locker room.
And they scored a touchdown, and that was it.
Team quit on them. And nobody wanted to be there. Yeah, so maybe they... I think I'd give them a good chance. I just don't think it'll happen. Nah, it's not going to happen. So that's where we're at for Utah State. This is a... If you tuned in this long, thank you very much. It's about an hour, 10 minutes or so. We are... What's upcoming next on MWCConnection.com? Our countdown's nearing top 15. Just rounding down the top 10 in a couple days. We're going to have, like I said, the Heisman pundit on to talk some Heisman nonsense with the Mountain West just for
historic. By Heisman nonsense, you mean Chucky Keaton and David Carr for
David
Heisman.
David Carr? What did you mean, Derek Carr? We're just kind of curious because it's changed so much for the Heisman. See, it is top 10 Heisman stuff that's always be blown out of the water with the underclassmen winning and stuff. We may have our friend Bill C. talk about his book later on. If not, go to footballstudyhall.com for that. We're going to have our Wyoming show. We may have our good friend Matt from Cowboy Office to join us, pending email. And then the week next show after that, preview show. You and me, battling down. Should we go through all 144 games? No. But we will. Here's what we'll do. I'll put it on everybody's spot. You and me will have our official win-loss records for every team.
Okay.
As I'm putting it on the spot now. Win loss records for every team.
Okay.
Let's see. Player of the year.
Okay.
Both sides of the ball, which not too hard. And our big surprises. We'll just make up some stuff and go make some categories and stuff. We'll go offline and talk about it. But that's what we'll do.
Alright, we have a special guest.
Should we?
Let's think about it. We'll keep the audience in suspense.
We don't think about a special guest because you and me can talk for hours about this, and we're Utah State only. Look what we did in the bowl thing earlier. We talked 15 minutes probably about Beef O'Brady and me wondering, looking at their website. So we'll see. It's an action-packed show. Maybe.
Action-packed!
Action. Sunday. Come down to the state fairgrounds.
Sunday. What the hell are you talking about? This is college football.
Oh, sorry.
Saturday.
Yes. Okay. That's enough for today. That's all. If you listen this far, thank you. If you listen to the end, leave a comment. Let us know to see how nonsensical we are. And this will be posted, I assume, Friday sometime once I get a chance to do this. But check out MWCConnection.com. I'm Jeremy. Chris hanging out there on his cell phone because his computer busted. And we will see everybody. Multiple shows, probably three or four shows next 2 weeks. So stay tuned and keep listening and go college football.